All right, let's jump on in here. First topic, I'm going to talk about peace through strength. So I got to say, the world that Trump inherited or is inheriting from the Biden administration is not the same one that he left behind. Now, I won't try to be all super glossy and say the world was at peace and it was a fine, fine world and everything was good and there were no bad actors. But it was a lot different than what we're seeing right now. Let's be honest. I mean, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you doesn't matter whether you're a Republican or Democrat, whether you liked Trump or not. You can simply say yes or no to certain questions. Did we have a decent or a growing relationship with North Korea during the Trump administration? The answer would be yes. Did we have the Abraham Accords bringing peace to the Middle Eastern region? The answer is yes. Was Iran launching missiles at Israel? The answer is no. Were the Houthis shooting at American ships and international shipping in international waters? The answer is no. Was Israel at war with Hamas? No. Had Ukraine been invaded by Russia? No. I mean, you can go down the list, y'all. I mean, there were certain things that were happening. China was posturing. Let's be honest. China was already building its little fake islands in the South China Sea, claiming their territorial waters were expanding. And every time they tried to do that, we would send over a carrier strike group and we would do a, you know, a freedom of passage transit, and we would just go right through the Straits of Taiwan. But that being said, it's a lot gamier out there right now. A lot gamier. And it may have just gotten even more gamey. So Trump's about to come in with a brand new team. We got Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Love that. We've got Pete Hegseth coming in as Secretary of Defense. I'm good with that. We got Michael Waltz coming in as National Security Advisor. I am loving that. And then we got J.D. Vance, of course, coming in as the Vice President. The Trump team for international and foreign policy and military strategy is far stronger. And we're also looking at, you know, and the left's having a freak out. Phil, you can't say he's going to be getting rid of generals. Yeah, by God, I can, because some of them need to go. As surely as people like Mitch McConnell needs to go, there are generals that just need to go. If you presided over the wokeness and DEI, if you presided over Afghanistan, you need to go. It's time to move on. It's going to be a whole new day. I believe that we're going to have a better group of people, a team, to handle things than we have right now. That may have been the understatement of the year. But here's some of the things that are happening, just to paint the picture. In fact, which one do I want to go with first? How about this? I'll pick up a piece here from Breitbart. Came out just 2 days ago. So President Biden has apparently now approved the use of long-range American missiles by Ukraine to strike deep within the Russian mainland. Now, let me go back up and say something here. Nobody wants Russia to win. Nobody wants Russia to win. I am not a fan of Putin. I'm not a fan of Russia. I'm not a fan of his open aggression to a neighboring state that was free. Keep in mind, in the Biden and Obama administration, Obama stood idly by while Russia annexed an entire Crimean peninsula. That would be like us waking up one day to find out that, I don't know, Cuba had annexed Florida. Just took it. The warm water ports that Ukraine had, you know, for shipping and everything else went away. Russia annexed Crimean Peninsula. It's a huge area, by the way, huge geographic area. And then, after Trump leaves office, you've got Afghanistan debacle. Putin sees he's got a weak foreign policy and presidential national command authority, and he says, let's just go take the rest of Ukraine. Now, the problem that we have is not that we don't want Russia to win. The problem that we have is that the Biden administration has no idea what winning looks like. Here's the plan, according to Biden. This is the Biden plan. You ready? We're in it for the long haul. Write the check. That's the plan. That is not a plan. And so what's happened is now we are at the 1,000th day of a war that never should have happened. And I believe if Trump had been in office, it probably wouldn't have happened. But we have sent billions and billions and billions of dollars over there with no effort at a cogent and cognitively organized plan, a strategic or tactical effort. Nothing. All we do is go, how much more money you need? Let's send it to them. Meanwhile, Democrats walk around wearing Ukrainian flags on their lapels. That being said, Putin needs to lose. He does. But now, in the waning days of a feckless administration, what did Joe Biden just do? He escalated the conflict. All right, in an attempt at what may be seen as undermining peace efforts by incoming President Donald Trump, who has already embarked on unofficial diplomatic efforts, Biden has now approved the use of long-range American missiles. Okay, I got to ask a couple things here. Think about it this way. First of all, he approved the use of the missiles? He approved them? Is there an operational planning meeting that I'm not aware that we sit in on? Do we have American generals over there advising Ukrainian generals? He approved? Now, if Russia is going to launch missiles into Kiev, which they are on a regular basis, if Russia is going to be launching missiles in, then I have to wonder, why does it take America to approve? All Biden did was put us on the chopping block. All Biden did was intervene by saying America's name is now boom, rubber stamped on something that is seen as an escalation of force. This is jackassery. And then on top of that, it's the use of long-range American missiles. Keep in mind, the missiles are already there. What did we think was going to happen when we sent them ATACMs, American Army Tactical Missile Systems? When we sent them ATACMs, what did we think was going to happen? Like they would never get used? What? Oh, you could only use them inside Ukraine? That was the plan? We sent them long-range ballistic missiles, and you thought they would never be used outside the borders of Ukraine? Okay, but now there's a rubber stamp on it that says Made in America. And oh, by the way, hey, shoot them as deep into Russia as you need to. Listen to this. Here's a phrase that should give you pause. It says, President Biden has been hesitant to permit the Ukrainians to use ATACMs within Russia for fear of escalating the conflict, with reported concerns over the world's largest nuclear power potentially using more powerful weapons within Ukraine. Moscow increasing assistance to American adversaries such as Iran or the Houthis to disrupt global shipping. Let me get this straight. So President Biden has not done this until now because he didn't want to A, escalate the conflict, B, run the risk of a nuclear confrontation, or C, increase dangers to American shipping and America's allies by Moscow in retaliation funding bad operators around the world. But then he did it anyway. So all those concerns were on the table, and then he did it anyway. So apparently you weren't too concerned. All right, so what's the response? What's Russia doing? Story here, breaking news as of today. Fox News reports Russian President Vladimir Putin has now signed a revised nuclear doctrine. He signed it this week. In the wake of Biden escalating America's posture with regards to long-range weapons into Russia proper, Vladimir Putin now signed a revised nuclear doctrine on Tuesday, stating that any attack on Russia supported by a country with nuclear power could be grounds for a nuclear response. Is it posturing? Maybe. Is it considered to be a bargaining chip? Maybe. Is it something that he's using to try to hold over people's heads and, you know, gain leverage in his negotiations or in maybe? Then again, the man's a little crazy. So Putin signed the new policy on the 1,000th day of the war with Ukraine and the day after President Biden authorized the use of long-range missiles that strike inside Russia. The doctrine states that Russia could respond to aggression against its ally Belarus also with nuclear weapons. And he says that it will be done with, quote, uncertainty of scale, time and place of possible use of nuclear deterrent. What does that mean? It means overwhelming and disproportionate force. It means they are not concerned with whether or not there was a massive or not a massive attack on Russian soil, that they will determine whether or not to respond with overwhelming and disproportionate force. The doctrine also now officially states that an attack on Russia by a non-nuclear power with the participation or support of a nuclear power like the U.S. will be seen as a joint attack on the Russian Federation. Nuclear weapons, noting that they could be used in response to an air attack involving ballistic cruise missiles, aircraft, drones, and other flying vehicles. In other words, doesn't matter what kind of attack, doesn't matter. What matters is Russia now is saying, just so you know, we're putting it all on the table. I don't know if they will. I don't know how legit it is. I don't know if he's serious or if he would even turn the key and push the button. But I do know he said he did. And he only said it after Biden escalated in his waning days in office. He escalated a major force-on-force conflict. The biggest force-on-force conflict in Europe since World War II. Let's take a break right now, and then I'm going to switch gears. When we get back, I'll take it a different direction. Let's talk about the Middle East. What did we just find out from Israel about Iran? And then let's get into what's happening at our military academies and where we're headed and why peace through strength is coming under a Trump administration. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. John from Huntsville just texted in. I didn't see his text earlier, but he's feeling left out. I don't know how to describe. John, you are much loved, and this was not an intentional leave out. And he says you ought to create an off the bench happy dance for your show on Saturday mornings, man.
It would probably be similar to Trump's happy dance. I mean, you can't get much better than that.
No, just go ahead and stick with what you got, right? if it ain't broke, don't fix it. John from Brownsboro says, during the Cuban Missile Crisis and Cold War, no shots were fired. With Biden authorizing the use of our ordnance on their soil, that changes the dynamic going forward. Is this a last-ditch effort for him to exert emergency war powers to keep Trump out? I don't think so. I don't think he would do that. Emergency war powers would be a dynamic that, I think right now the Trump team could walk in tomorrow and do a better job than what we're seeing out of the Biden administration. But we're in weird times right now. So while I think that would not happen, I put nothing by them, but I don't think that'll happen. Thomas Mathen says Biden effectively signing his name on multiple MGM 140, 300-kilometer range missiles is essentially spitting in Putin's eye by a failing lame duck president in response to North Korean soldiers being posted there. It brings to mind the quote by Robert Gates regarding Biden foreign policy. Yeah, the quote, by the way, that Gates was, don't underestimate Biden's ability to blank everything up. He said, but then I went to Polaris's national security site to look at the gasp. Okay, I see it. Yeah, there's a lot of failures. There are. So he brings up a point. North Korea, which, by the way, to my knowledge, has not been an expeditionary force ever, like in the history of ever. North Korea now has 10,000 soldiers that it has sent to the battlefield in Ukraine. Now, I'm hearing through some that they're not doing that great, and I would not expect them to. They're probably the cream of the cream for North Korea, but they're probably also, for the first time in their life, looking at Starlink internet and trying to figure out why they live in a place that doesn't serve Big Macs. But that being said, nonetheless, North Korea sent 10,000 soldiers to aid Russia on the battlefield. I mean, the whole thing's a complete debacle. And I don't, you know, Trump says he's going to have the thing, everything in Ukraine resolved before he takes office. Maybe. I guarantee you there's some threats and some planning. But listen, he's not going to go in there. It's not going to be a matter of, if you don't stop now, we'll put troops on the battlefield and Russia, you'll be facing American boots on the ground. I don't think that. I think you're going to see all of, and you've heard me say it before, the acronym DIME. Diplomacy, information or intelligence, military and economic, all of it. You're going to wind up seeing a complete full court press that's going to say, Russia, we're going to deplete your ability to fund life because we're going to put sanctions on you. We're also going to deplete your ability to sell your energy reserves because we're going to undercut you on the world market. And then, oh, by the way, we're also going to make sure that Ukraine has what it needs and we're going to tell them, do what you got to do. But only if there's a strategy or a plan in place. And then he's going to probably look at NATO and say, and we need more of y'all to pile in here because we can't keep doing it for you. It is your war over there. There's a lot to be said about having a concerted peace through strength strategy. Robbie from Montana says he's bluffing. Who's bluffing? Putin, I guess. I guess he's talking about Putin. Putin's bluffing. Then again, is Biden bluffing? Does Biden know he signed that, by the way? Hugh from Huntsville says, perhaps Democrats authorized Ukrainian money for more than one reason. Yeah, Biden pay to play. Yeah, I still believe, and I have nothing to prove this. So do not think that I suddenly know something, because I can't say that. My sense of things is that somebody's got something in a drawer in Ukraine that's got a Biden family name attached to it, if you know what I'm saying. And it's going to wind up being like, we need some more aid. We can't send some more. How about those pictures? Right, we'll send some more. I think that's where we've been. What time have I got? Do I have time for a call?
I've got a little bit of time.
Yeah, I got a tad of time. Let me grab that call real quick before I go to the break. Kevin from Huntsville. Hey, man, how are you?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Is there not a way for Congress or somebody to pass a law or something for that a lame duck president, especially one like Joe Biden, who's been proven that he's not running the country and he's not capable of running the country, from making these decisions that have this kind of ramifications?
Not likely. They would have to invoke the 25th Amendment and have him removed from office. Otherwise, he has the powers of the presidency at his disposal.
Wow, that's crazy that a lame duck president, and after the election, can make these kind of decisions.
I completely agree, man. Hey, that's it. The music's already playing. Kevin, thanks for the call. We'll come right back. I'll wrap this up. I got a few more you might want to know. And oh, by the way, what does it mean to have peace through strength? I'm looking forward to it again. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right, and we will be back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Phil Williams, here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday. We're in the middle of Dipper number one. I call this Peace Through Strength. I got a couple of text messages because I got to clean up and make sure that I don't lose some of y'all, like John from Huntsville, because he was feeling bad, and I did not mean to leave him out.
Don't worry, y'all. Even if Phil doesn't read out your text, I see your text. So you're seen one way or the other.
Seen and much loved. Linda from Madison says, hey, Phil, enjoy the show. But what really makes me smile is when you give us the broadcast area. I don't know why. I find that so amusing. I just do. Well, stand by, Linda. I may be modifying that readout. Who knows? It's not even a readout. I just say it. It's not even. I'm not sure if it's even written down anywhere. It just happens.
No, it is, because whenever I fill it in, I looked at that paper right in front of you to read it out.
I had it written down there, and I've never had to refer to it since. It like just flows. But yeah, thank you very much, Clint. By the way, don't give away our secrets. Don't give away our secrets here in the studio. But I don't. Baseball. But JP can attest, I don't look at the notes when I have to say that.
No, he does not. Yep.
It just happens. But yeah, Linda, just stand by. There might be, I don't know, maybe some announcements in the near future. Clint from Tony says, going back to the monologue, he says, Phil, referring to your monologue, those who are in the public eye and will not stand when appropriate to honor the U.S. were unfortunately not raised by men like my father, who took part in three separate beach assaults in the Pacific Theater in World War II. If they were, they would not even consider such behavior, regardless of their teammates' position. There is a reason those were called the greatest generation. Clint, whew, thank you for your father's service. Thank you very much. Ken from Rimlap says, Phil, as for people, I hope General Milley is at the top of Trump's list of people to go. Yeah. Well, he's already gone. I mean, Milley's gone. But believe it or not, there's actually talk, and I got mixed feelings on this. There's actually talk about recalling, because you can do this. You can recall a retired officer to active duty for the purposes of making them stand for UCMJ punishment. So Trump has floated all kinds of things. You can also, by the way, effectively reduce people's rank even in retirement. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but there needs to be some accountability. And I don't think that the true boots on the ground in Afghanistan need to be assessed for their problems, but I think that the Pentagon does. It absolutely does. There's some upper-level leadership that just blew it. And we need to have them held to account. Jeff from Indiana says, hey, Phil, since you did the Trump happy dance, you need to give equal time to Joe Biden, do the Joe Biden shuffle and fall up the stairs. No. I decline. Hey, listen, let's look at another part of the world as I finish this up. I'm going to try and get this done before the next break because I want to switch to a different topic before our guest comes in at the bottom of the hour. By the way, stay tuned. Our guest at the bottom of the hour is Wesley Britt, who is the husband of Senator Katie Britt, but he's a former NFL football player, and we're going to talk to him about some stuff. So anyway, that should be interesting. Peace through strength. Netanyahu has just confirmed something that broke last night on Fox News. Netanyahu has now confirmed Israel has struck Iran. I'm sorry, the Israel strikes against Iran that happened a couple weeks ago did, in fact, hit a part of Iran's nuclear facilities. Netanyahu said it's not a secret, he said in a speech to the Times of Israel. There is a specific component in their nuclear program that was hit in this attack. It had not been previously confirmed, according to news sources. What this basically means is we're looking at Iran, according to the IAEA, is believed to be running pell-mell towards having nuclear weapons, and some aspect of that was just hit by Israel. The world in which we live. Meanwhile, back at home, peace through strength. How do you feel knowing that at the U.S. military academies, which, by the way, are considered Ivy League. You know that? Military academies are considered Ivy League universities.
I actually did not know that. No.
I didn't either until a few years back. I was reading a book about West Point, and those are considered Ivy League universities. But an English course at the U.S. Naval Academy is teaching officer candidates left-wing theories of gender and sexuality and critical race theory, according to the syllabi that was just obtained by the Daily Caller. Got this piece that I pulled off of the organization that I'm on the National Board of Advisors for called STARS. STARS is determined to root out wokeness in the U.S. military. The course description is HE 374, Topics in Gender and Sexuality. It broadens from the second wave of feminism in the 1970s, according to a syllabus, into gender and sexuality studies to include LGBTQ studies, race, class, and concepts informed by critical race theory. This is at your Naval Academy, people. This is at the U.S. Naval Academy at Annapolis. Students begin the class by performing a land acknowledgement. The syllabus shows what's a land acknowledgement. That's when you acknowledge in writing that you understand that you are on land stolen from, you know, native tribes or whatever. A land acknowledgement. Well, that's great. Students also then set the learning outcomes for the course. In the third class period, students create a diversity statement. They learn gender and sexuality vocabulary. Another in-class activity for week three is reading Pan-African Socialist Civil Rights and other works. You've got journal entries on tacit racism due every Wednesday. You've got an exploration of the masculine-feminine binary according to a historical and contemporary discussion of the rejection and empowerment of specific sexual... Blah, 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 blah.
Wah, 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 wah.
Listen, that stuff's going away, man.
It better.
What's your Javier Milei sound effect? Was it?
Afuerte.
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 Afuerte. It's gone. Afuerte. CRT and gender studies at the Naval Academy. Afuerte.
Man, I love Milei.
What does afuerte mean? Is that gone?
Out of here.
Out of here.
Gone, you know, yeah. Yeah, same thing.
Afuerte. Also a story from Woke Spy. It's an unconfirmed story. I admit that right up front. But Woke Spy has a story that says there are Pentagon officials reportedly discussing how to respond to directives from President Trump, according to a new report by CNN. How about this? Here's how you respond to the commander-in-chief. Yes, sir, three bags full. That's all you do. You salute smartly and move out and draw fire. That's what you do. We need to figure out how best to respond to this. You friggin' respond to it and do it. Well, what are they worried about? Well, according to they're gaming out scenarios about how they might respond if Trump wants to use the military to assist with deportations. Okay. They're also really, really worried about Schedule F. What is Schedule F? Schedule F is when Trump can convert civil servants to at-will employees and dismiss them based on performance. No. You mean like the private sector does? Like do your job right or lose your job? Yeah. That's unheard of. Well, that's what we're looking at right now. But let me talk about just a few minutes here about what I think is going to happen. Two things. Well, three things. Okay, several things. Number one, I think the wokeness goes. I think there's going to be a wokeness just like purge. I think you're going to see DEI in the military gone. I think you're going to see gender studies in the military academies gone. I think you're going to see pronouns in the military gone. I think you're going to see transgenderism surgeries being paid for by the military gone. That's going away. I think you're also going to see questions about standards for females in combat. I think you're going to see it. Brace yourselves. It's going to happen. There needs to be a hard discussion about it. There should. And then I think you're going to see some other things. I think you'll see a foreign policy that is far more cohesive and based on dime, like I said earlier. And then you're going to see this. Peace through strength is also not just what we do with our military. Peace through strength is also about who we are as a nation. And reindustrialization is part of national security, believe it or not. If we can, and this is, and it, some people call it economic nationalism, whatever. What it basically means is we don't outsource everything we need to other countries that don't like us. We don't have all of our energy needs based in places like Venezuela and Saudi Arabia. We don't have all of our semiconductors based in places like Taiwan, which is on the chopping block for China. We don't base our entire industrial strength upon things that we can't get to if things go bad. We begin to reindustrialize America. Think about it. It's the industrial might of Alabama, excuse me, of America, and the soldiers of America that won World War II. The soldiers could not have done what they did if we did not put the beans and bullets in their hands. Building the planes, building the tanks, rolling things out, peace through strength. Peace through strength is not just a military, which will be stronger, because you'll have recruiting going up, you'll have wokeness being gone, you'll have a focus on being warfighters. You'll make people proud to put on that uniform on a daily basis and not question whether they're being used as a social experiment. At the same time, you will also have a foreign policy that makes sense and says America first, and people will have to negotiate with that. And then lastly, peace through strength, I would say, is going to include a reindustrialization of America in such a way that not just profits us as a nation and as a people, but also puts us in a position to not rely upon other nations for the things that make us strong. So yeah, peace through strength. I'm looking forward to it. Do you feel like we have it right now? I don't. I'll tell you right now, we don't.
Can I just add, too, before we change topics, about Biden allowing Ukraine to use U.S. weapons? And it drives me nuts that you can't be critical of how the United States has handled this without being a pro-Putin sympathizer or a Russian asset. And it drives me nuts because it's been a deliberate provocation of Russia of, you know, poking the bear constantly when peace has been on the table multiple times, even when there was a peace agreement early on in the war. And then the United States sends Boris Johnson to go shoot it down and say, you guys need to be brave and you need to, you know, go to the front lines. We got your back. And meanwhile, all the Ukrainian generations are getting slaughtered right now. And it was completely unnecessary. And any sort of criticism of that and the blank check that's bankrupting our country is shot down. And we have neocons, I mean, who are obsessed with war and going against Russia. And because it's the same people who are funding the war who actually have the contract to rebuild Ukraine, which, you know, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. But all of that to be said, it just drives me nuts that peace is not an option for the United States right now. And it's completely off the table.
Not under the lack of foreign policy that we have.
Nope.
Not at all. And I completely agree. So I would not consider myself to be an isolationist by any stretch. I believe if there's a place we have to go, we go there. If there's a national interest at stake, we go and fix it. If there's an ally at risk, we go and we protect them. But right now, no one knows what the plan is in Ukraine except a checkbook. That's all we've got. Take me to a break, brother. Take me to a break right now, right this very second. We're going to come back, and we're going to switch gears. We're going to lighten the mood. We're going to talk about the Trump victory dance. And then coming up bottom of the hour, Wesley Britt's going to call in. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.